What really is safety? And what would be an unsafe guidance to the mountaintop? Capricorn rules the law of elevation. It is the law of group progress, and we ascend actually as a group, though apparently often alone. And in that group ascent, there is safety. And in the detachment of Capricorn, there is safety. There is safety from being pulled back. And detachment of Capricorn is the safety against being pulled back into the obscuration of a lower form. I mean, form will always exist, even any place on the cosmic physical plane. And the cosmic physical plane represents, at the moment, our highest spiritual destinations, at the moment, in terms of what we can conceive. So we can't say safety from form, but safety from the obscuration of lower form, which benights the consciousness and incapacitates temporarily the powers of the soul. All right. We're there. 2 hours. And we will begin this shortly, going on to 99C. What a rich chapter it is. What a repository this Cancerian chapter is. Just so many useful indications and tabulations and sort of charts that indicate important orientations in esoteric astrology. So we'll let it go for now. And we will come back later, shortly. Okay, so we are at Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 99C. I guess almost reaching 100, but there are, of course, more than 100 programs. You know, some, I don't know, maybe 120 hours of programs, 130, something of that nature. We go on here that in the recognition of this, now what is the this? Yes, it's the Cancerian and Capricornian energy drawing us, according to the words of the old commentary, through the door of Cancer streams the magnetic, magical light which guides the soul into the dark place of experience. That is the magnetism that pulls into matter form of the lower 18 subplanes. And then that which draws out of that is the Capricornian energy, the energy of initiation, the radiant light which leads the soul in safety to the mountaintop, the true place of refuge. Sometimes we feel that when we are covered with matter and encapsulated within a fortress of lower matter substance, that we are safe and have refuge. Well, maybe the physical form may be safer, but the soul is not safer at all because it is buried and its powers cannot be expressed. So, in the recognition of this comes elucidation of the fact that in time and space, controlling factor and determining condition is the sensitivity of the incarnated soul to form life, leading to incarnation through the door of Cancer, or to soul life, leading to initiation through the door of Capricorn. Doors or gates, they are equivalent terms here. And the key is that which is incarnated. Incarnation is one pole, and initiation is another. Kind of a disincarnation, if you will, or shedding or dropping the veils which have been gathered around the consciousness, the veils or vehicles which have been gathered around the consciousness. So, which is the controlling factor? How sensitive are we to incarnated form life, to life within the three lower worlds using three lower vehicles, or are we beginning to detach our consciousness, our sentiency, our sensitivity from response to these worlds and becoming more sensitive to the soul itself? This is the individual coming into his own nature as consciousness itself. So in a way, it's becoming sensitive to sensitivity. And that is what initiation is, really, an increasingly entree into increasingly sensitive states, sensitive to subtle things which escaped our notice when we were sensitive only to form life on the lower 18 subplanes. It is also in relation to these two signs. It is also in the relation of these two signs to each other that you get one of the clearest pictures of the interplay between the pairs of opposites as they exist in the zodiac. The pairs of opposites are always interplaying, and Gemini is the symbol of that interplay. It does represent the pairs of opposites and their mutual effect upon each other. And it might profit us here for a minute, take us longer than that, to study the two types of consummation which this interplay between the opposites brings about. Now, we do remember that we talked about a kind of interplay that, according to esoteric psychology, world, flesh, devil, the very first one ought to do it. And it will bring us to Esoteric Psychology 2, page 78. Okay, so it all begins really on page 76, the seven ray methods of appropriation, and there is the idea of the descent into densifying matter and an anchoring of the lower worlds, and then eventually with the next 17 points following the first 16, the shedding of those vestures, those vehicles, those veils, vestures, vehicles, veils, shedding of those things, and entering finally into a state of reality, formlessness on the cosmic Buddhic plane, and God. For the air is life, the air is God, and the Buddhic plane is the plane of air. So, there is the sense of the opposite direction, and when we think of the wheel turning in two directions, we have the idea of opposition. The clockwise turning is to go along the wheel of rebirth as a personality, and the counterclockwise is to begin to free oneself from the real wheel of rebirth as it turns in a forward manner, which we call the reversal of the wheel. Actually, the way we consider movement in the zodiacal circle is actually a kind of reversed movement. It's a natural movement, but it is reversed from the strange clockwise direction of the individualized personality, which thinks of itself as different from all surroundings and from all other human beings. So it is, then again, in the relation of these two signs to each other that you get one of the clearest pictures of the interplay between the pairs of opposites as they exist in the zodiac, and it might profit us to study the two types of consummation, I suppose. One within the lower worlds and as a personality, and the other as the soul, which is freeing itself and then in consummation has freed itself from the lower worlds of matter form. I will endeavor to put these for you in tabular and suggestive form for your later consideration and study. I guess he's telling us it's going to take a while to study these. I think in our esoteric psychology classes and in our PhDE classes, we have been studying these opposites for a long time, and I probably have some other documents someplace which go into detail concerning the meaning of these two types of consummation. The consummation on both the form side and the soul side might be expressed as follows. ever bearing in mind the limitations of language. I'm sure that one day we will appreciate, as DK does, the manner in which the true idea or thought is limited by language, but right now it's probably best for us to hang on every word, trying to read between the lines for the true meaning of these words. So here we are on the clockwise wheel, and we're dealing with Aries to Taurus via Pisces. You'll see how that will turn. Just imagine going backwards from an Aries rising sign into the preceding sign Pisces, and all the way around until you reach Taurus and are about ready to enter Aries once again. So for ordinary humanity, Aries Libra. Interesting about Aries Libra, of course, you know, later it really has to do with the Great Bear and with the tremendous consummation in spirit, whereby the highest and the lowest meet in the nature of man. But unstable embryonic beginnings, well, I think we have only to remember what it said about blind, undirected action in Aries, right? So things are just beginning here, and they are uncertain, and they don't last a long time. They are assertions without foundation. Unstable embryonic beginnings leading to the balancing of the lower psychic nature and its expression through form. And this is largely leading to some form of emotional balancing or some balancing in the subtle bodies. We do not really find here the true psyche, the soul. So eventually we reach a stage of personality stability, which may even give us personality integration and effectiveness, but it has not yet included the higher psychic nature or true psyche, which we call the soul. But, you know, Libra ultimately is a sign of considerable balance once it has gone through its vicissitudes, and certainly more balanced and stable than Aries. Notice the at first, the soft line energies of Mars and Mercury, very active, very changeable, giving us the sixth and the fourth ray. When it comes to that which expresses itself through through Libra, we have Venus, the fifth ray, and Uranus, the seventh ray, all together a more balanced position. Embryonic desire for expression, probably a reflection of the will to be, in a way, and the will to be being that particular type of will which is related to Aries, consummates in the passion for satisfaction. So one is expressing oneself through the lower love energy. Both Aries and Libra are strongly involved in the passion of satisfaction, and the desire for expression is working through the sacral center, which interestingly Libra rules through Uranus. I know it is an esoteric ruler, but if we turned to the, let's turn there to page 517 in Esoteric Astrology, we will see that even for the average man, that the sacral center is ruled by the seventh ray and by Uranus. Of course, I do think we should include the moon there and definitely Mars as well, so we can see how sacral, in a way, Aries is, because it is ruled by Mars, and Mars really has such a connection with all the three lower centers, solar plexus, sacral, and even the latent kundalini at the base of the spine. Mars is found there as it rules the entire personality. So there's a consummation here in unbalanced fiery passion, human love. We remember that from our tabulation that we just went through. Lower love controls. There is the passion for the satisfaction through the merging of the sexes and through expression of the sacral center. Okay. Well, you know, obviously we could dwell on many of these things, but it turns out that the individual is not able to... See, the will to create comes in through Aries, but the will to create cannot yet work through the throat center and through the use of symbols and words and intelligence. It has to work out through the sacral center in terms of creating new vehicles for the race. And this is the center through which the lower love expresses. Okay, going on. So that's a lower consummation, in lower love, and the kind of physical, psychic energy consummation, which is the climax of that type of relationship. Okay, then Taurus and Scorpio on the clockwise wheel, powerful, focused, lower desires in Taurus, right? Because Taurus rules especially the desire body, and just as Aries rules from one perspective the mental body, but here we have we have this passion for acquisition through desire, and it leads to death and defeat, because nothing that you grasp from the lower nature can lead to any lasting satisfaction. And death and defeat we recognize as belonging to Scorpio. Now, you know, it's we certainly know it's the sign of death, but the agony of defeat, the pain of victory, these held him down. This is said in the story of the Blessed One for the fourth ray, and we know that more fourth ray energy comes through Scorpio at this time than through any other sign. So defeat is part of the Scorpio picture. And interestingly, this is a very fourth ray axis at the present time, because both of these constellations are primarily at this time expressions of the fourth ray. Okay. So that's what can we say? It is a lower type of result. Can we call it a consummation? I don't know. It's an inevitable result when, against the advice of the Buddha, you seek for existence in the phenomenal world, the lower 18 subplanes, and possession of that which seems to exist in the lower 18 subplanes, the phenomenal world. The triumph of the lower nature. So, in a way, the moon is exalted in Taurus. We have to remember that. In the awakening to satiety, meaning I've had enough of that, and death. The lower passions lead to satiation. They are spent, and the lower fires burn themselves out. We're told that in other places of the teaching. The lower passions burn themselves out. Okay, I have a feeling, I hope, okay, let's see where we are here, and whether calls are coming for me. I hope not at this present time. trying to do many things at the same time, you know how it goes, too many things. All right, then it says further, satiety and death, because there is no more desire once satiety is reached, and you do not desire what is before, below, above, behind. You hang pendant in space along with the sixth ray, and it seems that naught is, and there's no instigation, there is no incentive, we might say, no incentive to reach for anything, and one feels as if one is dead. Matter of fact, one dies when one's desires really run out completely. It may be a physical death, it may be a metaphysical death. The man is the prisoner of desire, you know, the sexual desire particularly, because Taurus is especially the sign of sex along with Libra, and at the moment of consummation knows his prison. And this is an interesting psychological idea. The moment of consummation suggests the orgasm, I suppose. And it is the realization that one is spending one's energy within the third aspect, and is, in a way, contributing to the perpetuation of the third aspect, and is not reproducing oneself. Not, I know this sounds like a strange idea. I remember my old teacher used to say to me that there comes a time in the life of every individual when he has to cease reproducing his own kind and begin reproducing himself. At the time, I was a young person, and it was a bit of a mystery to me what it meant, and of course went on to have three children. But I understand now some of the higher yogas that are involved in the reproduction of self, leading eventually to omnipresence. And we understand omnipresence to be a key factor in the production of harmlessness. Harmlessness is the expression of the life of the man who realizes himself to be everywhere. Interesting. So this is definitely desire fed by the sacral center and the solar plexus to a degree, and it's occurring within the personality nature. It is sensory, sensuous, and sensual, and it has only to do with satisfaction along a third aspect line, although certain psychological factors may enter into this a little bit later in evolution. Still, we are spirit, and we come from higher worlds, and at the moment of expenditure or glory in the lower sense of the word within the third aspect of divinity, one realizes perhaps one's distance from the higher type of liberation. DK talked a little bit about the so-called tantric methods of releasing oneself into enlightenment, although it's a misuse of the word tantra, really. And he said, that way shall enlightenment not be found. All right, then moving on to Gemini Sagittarius, fluid interplay and instability. What does it sound like? You know, very much like Gemini, let instability do its work, leads to personality, focus, and determination. Obviously, the one-pointed Sagittarius, right? Personality focus is the alignment. Remember that it's said of the undeveloped man that he was self-centered in Sagittarius. So that is really personality focus, and it is the aligned and integrated personality, aligned with itself and not with the soul, that is here referenced. And there is a kind of focusing of desire, which we call determination in this case. It's not so much the will. This is the one-pointed, O-P-T-D, one-pointed focusing of personality desire. The man is one-pointedly devoted. So, you know, we know that more of the sixth ray comes through Sagittarius than through any other sign. The man is, at this time, the man is one-pointedly devoted to personality achievement. He experiences ambition in Sagittarius, and it's consummated in Capricorn. The threefold lower nature synthesized, synthesized and directed, controls all activity. So this is a kind of personality consummation. It's the one-pointed satisfaction of the personality, all forces gathered for personality achievement. And as I pointed out before, it has a lot to do with the way Aries operates in the stage of the advanced man, which is directed personality effort. And let's see if there's anything. I wonder if I can find something to refer to here. Yes, that. Okay, that would be it. That's one thing to look at. Directed personality effort and desire. And then we come down to Sagittarius, one point in this directed approach. So, in a way, DK is talking not only about the, he's talking not only about the really undeveloped man, but he's talking as well about, about the fairly advanced man who is not yet spiritual. So, from a condition of instability and scatter, we achieve one-pointedness and determination and a very concentrated personality focus. Now, of course, in the beginning as well, Sagittarius, we know, can scatter its arrows, right? And it can follow many errant paths. But pretty much DK is giving one-pointed, determined, almost rigidity here to Sagittarius in contrast to the fluid interplay of Gemini. And we see it is definitely, this is a, you know, this is a personality consummation, most definitely. And here is a consummation of pleasure, which is found in Taurus Scorpio, and the same pretty much in Aries. Lower love controls. It's a consummation experience within the third aspect of divinity, and not within the second aspect, which is the soul aspect. Okay, Cancer Capricorn, which we have been studying. Okay. The urge to incarnate, which is, you know, for salvation purposes, in alliance with that fifth, almost liberated creative hierarchy, but this urge to incarnate, which is Cancerian, leads to the densest incarnation and immersion in form. So this is Capricorn, the earthbound soul. Oop, etheric bodies, no. Earthbound soul. So these are the hard, concrete people who are resistant to all the higher possibilities. They are downward looking, and their consciousness is immersed in the lowest matter. The pull of the form life and the processes of concretization control. And this is, in a way, we might say, for both of the signs. The pull of the form life is Cancerian. The processes of concretization is Capricornian. There's a lot of mixture here. So this is Cancerian, and the processes of concretization very Capricornian, because it is, in a way, the densest of the signs, or it is that which controls density and is therefore involved strongly with the mineral kingdom. Let's just say that Vulcan, in relation to Capricorn, is strongly involved with the mineral kingdom, and Taurus as well. Well, and Virgo, yes, to the mineral kingdom to a degree, but also especially with the plant kingdom, and so is Taurus involved with the plant kingdom, but not Capricorn so much. Interesting. All right, so we are really crystallized. The man arrives after many incarnations at a point of crystallization, which must be broken. So it is a consummation in rigidity. Rigidity. And if there is to be further growth, then the rigid must be broken, which it usually is under the hammer blow of Vulcan, or so one of the blows of life, as it turns out. So we're pulled right down into, you know, Capricorn does rule, of course, the mountaintop, but it also rules the inverse mountain, where we are really stuck in form and are more have achieved a lower identification with the mineral kingdom. We become hard, brittle, dense, and therefore breakable, not supple at all. All right, and the next one is Leo Aquarius. The individual, well, who is that? I suppose it's Leo, isn't it? Seeks full expression. Leo again. And arrives finally at the point where he uses his environment for purely individual ends, and that's the manipulative power of Aquarius. Okay, which has in it much third and fifth ray. I would say through decanate rulers and even through the constellation itself. DK has talked about the way the third ray comes through Aquarius. One has to be a little sensitive. Is he talking about coming through the planets, or is he talking about coming through the constellations themselves? And I use the image of, you know, usually Aquarius is pouring the waters of life upon others, or under the law of service, which is akin to the Aquarian mode, out from his head center, pouring forth all of these great energies which help everybody. But what happens when you turn, so to speak, the shower head on yourself, and all of the advantages of nature, all the forces, all the powers of nature, which constitute one's environment, are poured upon oneself for one's own individual or selfish ends? He dominates his fellow men for entirely personality objectives. So it's Leo and Aquarius. Let desire inform the ruler. Yes, it is a dominating sign. There's a strong first ray in it, and DK has talked about how subtle may be the dominance of the Leo type, who can take or brook no interference or control from without. And, you know, just because one is Aquarian doesn't mean that one has a New Age consciousness. There are many Aquarians who literally seek to turn the riches of the world and all the forces of the world towards themselves for their own selfish ends. So he is definitely still very much a personality in this stage. The isolated individual becomes the group ruler. So the group is Aquarius, right? Is Aquarius. And the ruler is Leo, and so is the dictator. But let's also realize that Uranus is the dictator, dictator as well. There is some sense of one's own inner authenticity, one's own pattern, which one seeks to impose on everyone else, as if one's own archetype will serve for everyone else. Usually it's the planet of authenticity, but what happens when one's own authenticity, which should be imposed upon one's own lower nature, is directed outward and instead imposed upon others? It gives the satisfaction of control, wide control. It's one of the glamours of the first ray, isn't it? Is it not so? Let's see. We turn here to glamour world problem, and let's see if we get anything there. That's wise control, not wide. With wide control, we're liable to get it, all right? So where is the glamour of rulership, of dictatorship, and of wide control? Here it is, page 121, Glamour World Problem. And basically, you can look at the three first-ray signs and look at all these glamours, and you can find the various glamours associated with one or more of them. You know, the glamour of personal magnetism, it's a very Leo thing. Self-centeredness and personal potency, I suppose it's rather Leo. Glamour of the one at the center, rather Leo. Selfish personal ambition, as much Capricorn as it is anything else. The glamour of selfish destiny and the divine right of kings, very Leo. The glamour of destruction, quite Aretian, Aries. The glamour of isolation, aloneness, and aloofness, well, it's all of them in a way, but especially Leo. The superimposed will upon others and upon groups, it's any one of these three, and so forth. Looks like we have more of them associated with Leo than with the others, but self-centeredness and personal potency, that can be very much Aries, of course. Physical strength, a lot connected with Aries. All right, that's just a little side trip. The isolated individual becomes the group ruler or dictator, and this is definitely, again, a personality consummation. In other words, what happens is, basically, you go as far as you can as a personality, and then something has to happen. A break, a reorientation. You cannot continue with perpetuating this personality consummation. It will lead nowhere, and sometimes when people do continue perpetuating that personality consummation, they basically, well, you know, they turn towards the left-hand path. In a way, you can say that that's what the members of the Black Lodge have done. They have perpetuated and raised to an unbelievable degree of potency this personality consummation. And so all powers are directed to the feeding of themselves as an intelligent, manipulative, powerful personality. Even the powers of the soul in its first tier of petals, of the egoic lotus in its first tier of petals, is directed towards feeding this kind of evil personality demonstration, which is much more powerful than the personality demonstration of most. Then we go on to Virgo Pisces, virgin matter. It's sort of mula prakriti, or matter in its unformed state. Let's look at that. Matter. in its unformed state, because form and matter are different. Matter is of the third aspect, and the form-building power is of the second, attracts the soul. It's an outgoing, it's an extroversion. The consciousness becomes fascinated by matter, and the Divine Mother becomes more important than the sun. So let's just say, how would we put this? Matter becomes more important than the consciousness, hides. There's a kind of a consummation here. The soul is hidden, and we know that both Virgo and Cancer are signs where the factor of hiddenness is pronounced. In the mass consciousness, the soul is unrevealed and buried by the multiplicity of material energies. The soul is preoccupied and unrevealed. The soul simply seems to be the personality at this point. This is a kind of consummation. The soul simply seems to be the personality at this point. It doesn't stand in its own right, and it is not brought forward as a growing Christ consciousness, not yet. It's the germination process. And it is really, it's the glamour of preoccupation with matter. A kind of a consummation of matter, because I think we can have some very fulfilling material developments here. But the real purpose of the incarnational process is not visible. It is not to be that the third aspect remains more important than the second aspect. The whole purpose of life on our planet in this incarnation of our planetary logos, and life in our solar system in this incarnation of our solar logos, is to have the soul aspect emerge. Perhaps this could have been a fitting consummation in the last solar system, in the last part of the last solar system, where Virgo was particularly potent, and the emphasis was on personality expression and the mind, a third ray kind of emphasis, but not anymore. So obviously these are intermediate stages. They are not fulfilled stages. And the consummations here, let's just say, the consummations just mentioned must be temporary. Or growth along the line of the second aspect of divinity will stop. So if any of us feel trapped in matter, trapped in material preoccupation, and are not using that matter form in order to fulfill the plan or develop consciousness or expand our sentiency, our sensitivity, and our general perception, then we are on the wrong track. Or at least we have been temporarily waylaid or distracted. But now the wheel will turn anti-clockwise. So many funny kind of stories about clockwise and anti-clockwise. I knew a man who really refused any kind of counterclockwise turning, because it was the way the swastika in its material aspect was shown to turn. He preferred the clockwise turning of the swastika. But in fact, if we look at the symbolism astrologically, we see that it is the anti-clockwise turning which is the truly spiritual turning. And besides, if you're making a circle that's going, if you're making a circle that's going clockwise, a person standing opposite you, to that person, it will appear to be going counterclockwise. So it's really very relative and a question of one's perspective and one's position of perception. But anyway, on the wheel turning anti-clockwise, Aries to Pisces via Taurus, the normal method of moving through the signs of the zodiac as we experience them in normal astrology, this has to do with the disciple and the initiate. For many of us, the wheel is turning in both directions at the same time and causing a kind of rending, tearing, frictional, conflicted process. And maybe it's not until we finally pass the temptations in the desert that we are able to say the wheel is really turning anti-clockwise. So we will have our frictions, and we will have our days when the clockwise turning seems to oppose the desirable anti-clockwise turning. But now, we had a consummation in Libra, which was human love, and how was it put? Yes, it was put this way. Lower love controls embryonic desire for expression, consummates through the sacral center in the passion of physical satisfaction. But now, moving into the wheel for the disciple initiate, the achieved equilibrium at a point of rest provides the mental impetus for soul control. So, you know, Libra's a very mental sign. And a decision towards soul control will be made. We forget, perhaps, that Uranus is active in both of these signs, and Uranus is active in the process of reversal. It is the hierarchical ruler of Aries and the esoteric ruler of Libra. Probably we're talking more about the esoteric position here in Libra. There is an achieved equilibrium, a kind of a harmony. We've taken things as far as they can go within our personal system. And at that point of rest, we can decide. We can look in both directions. We can evaluate. And we can use our mind, Saturn, from a detached perspective and make the decision with the power of Uranus helps us move towards control from the higher mind. We can call it soul control, and we remember what is said in Aries, I come forth from the plane of mind and rule. I come forth from the plane of higher mind and I rule, because I have made the decision to move my consciousness into a position of control and out of the range of impulses of the sacral center and basically the lower centers altogether. So passion, which we understand is related to Libra, but to Aries as well, of course, to Libra, is transmuted into love, which is also a quality of Libra. We have a divine love and understanding found in Libra, don't we? Take a look at the, let's see. I think I can get rid of this one, which should bring, yes, very good. So we have here in Libra what is called balance attained, divine love and understanding, telling us something about the second ray component of the constellation Libra. So from passion, which can be Aresian or Libran, both, from that state of passion, we move into a truer form of love under Venus, which is the ruler of Libra. And the initial desire of Aries, instead of consummating itself in physical human love and the passion of satisfaction, becomes the full expression of love wisdom. And now, isn't that interesting? Because isn't this expression taking place in Libra, just as I showed a minute ago? Balance attained, divine love, understanding. There is the love wisdom right in Libra. So, you know, if you think about Libra as being a kind of sign which is related to the Prince of Peace, the Christ, and to the Spirit of Peace, who is the great example, working through Shambhala, of the second ray, then we see the second ray potentials in Libra and are not stuck thinking only that it is a third ray sign, although it does represent, through law, sex, and money, the three aspects of the third ray. So the initial desires, instead of turning downward, turn upward in aspiration toward the full expression of love, wisdom, desire to manifest. And now here we are. You see how we're going back and forth here. You know, this is really the interplay of the opposites, the light of interplay. There's such a Gemini dynamic controlling this kind of discussion. So the desire to manifest, which is connected with Libra, which has Uranus and Saturn for manifestation, and many hard line rays, becomes the aspiration to be. And this is Aries. Aries. So, discovery of true being, which is occurring around the time of the third initiation and beyond. So that is the out of the personality consummation, isn't it? We finally, we move out of the lower worlds into love, wisdom, and being, don't we? We have moved into love, wisdom, love, wisdom, and being. These are the higher types of consummations which are of the soul and spirit, and especially we find Aries relating us to the spirit, but also Libra, because Libra is the doorway into Shambhala. So Aries, Libra, Great Bear, and Spirit all go together, don't they? Aries, Libra, Great Bear, and Spirit. And if you look at the astrology book, you see that on page 50 here, oh, that's glamour. I don't want that one. I want page 50 of the astrology book only. We find in the tabulation the very first thing, Great Bear, Aries, Libra, the sun veiling Vulcan. And we're talking about the second, a liberated creative hierarchy. So this is the cardinal cross, and the sun is veiling a first ray planet. We're dealing with the spirit in this one. So that's where the consummation is. Now, we also ended in satiety and death in terms of the personality consummation and the realizing of one's prison at the moment of consummation, which sounds like one should have used one's energies for other purposes, towards becoming the white bull rather than the black bull. Scorpio, Taurus, we got as far as satiety and death and defeat. We realized we were defeated by our third aspect tendencies, and it was killing the possibility of the liberation of the second aspect. Here we have the final victory of soul over form, and that's so very scorpionic, isn't it? Warrior am I, and from the battle I emerge triumphant, the soul triumphant, the triumphant disciple. And it's even the spiritual triad is the true ego, and the hierarchy of human monads is focused through Scorpio on the Buddhic plane. Death and darkness, which were reached, and defeat, death, darkness, and defeat. What a trio that is. I like that trio, don't you? I mean, it's so, somehow, so descriptive, you know. Let's just, I'm going to mark it down just for fun. Okay. Death, darkness, and defeat. Okay. So these three demonstrate as life. It's called, what's it called? The light of life. The light of life. That's what it's called in Taurus. It's also found in Aries. But here it is. The light of life. Okay. So we have here, death and darkness of Scorpio. Okay, put that in. Scorpio demonstrate as light, life and light, including the light of life, as a result of this energy relationship. We have the breaking forth of the greatest light. The dark night of the soul, which is so scorpionic. If you want to have a dark night, make sure that you are born with plenty of Scorpio in your chart. If you want the agony of defeat, despair, death-like state, becomes the radiant sun of the greatest light. I see the greatest light. I see, and when the eye is opened, all is illumined, the single all-revealing eye. So darkness, this is so much about lead us from darkness to light. It's kind of a Scorpio, Taurus dynamic. But in a way, lead us from the unreal to the real is similar. And death to immortality, well, we can look at that in still different ways. Okay, the final victory of soul over form. This is what Hercules does achieve, right? Here we go. Hercules achieves this. in Scorpio. He conquers the entire Hydra, and he becomes the buddhically inspired disciple initiate who truly sees that illusion is death. Death and darkness of the usual and early Scorpio experience demonstrate as life, the vitality, the substance of all things, and as light, the great radiation, in Taurus. As a result of this energy relationship, and let's just say the energy is used to bring on the great light. And because of the redirection of the biopsychic energies, there is the opening of the pineal gland. And the pineal gland is fed by the upward surging energies rather than having them all be depleted through the sacral center, which leads to death, darkness, and blindness. So from the dark night of the soul, the closer the light, the greater the dark. It becomes a radiant sun, and joy cometh in the morning with the sunrise. With Sagittarius and Gemini, we got into this position of one-pointed personality effort. Wasn't that what it was called here? Something like that. Mm-hmm. The threefold lower nature, synthesized and directed, controls all activity. One-pointedly devoted, sixth ray, to personality achievement. Okay, but now what? And we will see here instead that the result of this related pair of opposites is that there is one-pointed soul effort. We could say towards the soul and as a soul. It all depends where identification is. Spiritually directed activity, not personally directed, and therefore directed from above the diaphragm and not from below, and a demonstrated readiness for initiation, which always precedes the Capricorn experience. So, you know, you might say the Sagittarius over the plains leads to the foot of the mountain but does not do the climbing. It's a lot better to let the goat climb the mountain than to let the horse. The horse is good for covering ground rapidly and for rapid progress across the plains, but let the sure-footed goat, which is to become the unicorn, do the climbing. There's the waning of the power of form and the waxing of the life of the soul, but notice he's giving us a big hint here. Hint in the words waning and waxing. And you will recognize the hint when you think of the spiritual mantra for Gemini. I recognize my other self, and in the waning of that self, I grow and glow. And what was it that John the Baptist said, he must wax and I must wane, something to that effect. And John the Baptist was a Gemini, and he was speaking of the great one to come after him, which was the Christ working through the initiate Jesus. So the nature of the one-pointed effort changes entirely, and you will know whether you are directing yourself or being directed one-pointedly towards soul objectives, or whether they are to fulfill personality satisfactions at whatever level, the physical instinctual ones, the emotional ones, and even the mental ones. That too can be a limitation, being caught into the mind and the satisfaction of the things of the mind. That too is a limitation. Spiritually directed activity from the soul or the spirit or the triad, but at least from the soul, which has a vision of the good of all according to the plan, and a demonstrated readiness. And notice strength, how does it go? Something like dump and Sagittarian attitudes. And Sagittarian attitudes, let me look that up. It's Sagittarian attitudes. Sagittarian attitudes. And there's only one of them, and so it's a struggle. Yeah, that's struggle. I guess I repressed on that one. Struggle, strength, and Sagittarian attitudes. Well, the struggle certainly comes in Scorpio with that fourth ray, but remember the fourth ray is there as well for Sagittarius, and the struggle with different ideals and idealisms is also to be found. So eventually, struggle, strength, and Sagittarian attitudes are developed at the end of the Scorpio problem as it is being solved, and we enter into Sagittarius, the victor over many battles, growing and having become stronger through struggle, and are developing that one-pointed vision which the soul suggests, which are the Sagittarian attitudes. So the power of form, which is in a way the moon as it falls in Scorpio, is waning because we are leaving Scorpio behind us, and the moon falls there with all of its allure, and the waxing of the life of the soul under Jupiter. Jupiter is the great planet of waxing, isn't it? Jupiter and waxing, with Saturn and waning. Saturn reduces and Jupiter increases, but it's not as simple as that. We know there are times when Jupiter just gets us into trouble, too much rope, and you hang yourself, and Saturn disciplines us in a way that allows for real growth. Okay, then we got ourselves into a situation of the deepest concretion in Capricorn, and we had reached a crystallized stage which had to be shattered under the blow of fate, under Vulcan, let us say. The initiate now chooses to incarnate. Well, we've made a jump there. We've made a jump from densest concretion, which presumably has been shattered, and the climb has been made of the mountain of karma, and the great light has been seen, and so you are initiate at this point. Let's just say that there has been a big jump from the end of the previous consummation to the beginning of this one. Let's just say you are suddenly an initiate, and you were in the very depths of matter before, weren't we? The man arrives after many incarnations at a point of crystallization. Well, somehow this low point, it is taken for granted that we will become the initiate, awakening as the prodigal son to our imprisoned state, and traveling upwards gradually until we can now choose to incarnate, not just drawn in. So this is both Cancer and Capricorn, but no longer just drawn in under the lure of form, and passes freely and at will through both doors by choice. So, in other words, one can release oneself onto the higher planes, into the world of the soul. Release at will into the world of the soul, or into incarnation for service purposes. The pull of matter, which was there under Cancer, very definitely, is superseded by the free choice of the soul. It's even like Saturn is involved in Capricorn, and, you know, also Libra involving choice. The pull of matter, you don't have to incarnate. Well, let's just say, after the fourth degree, you don't have to incarnate. But increasingly, as we approach the fourth degree, the kind of incarnation we will have is worked out in consultation with the solar angel within the egoic nature. Form life becomes a conscious method of expression for service, and, should we say, not just to satisfy desire. It is a conscious choice is involved in choosing the reincarnational experience. So, this is a situation all the more into control, and then, of course, one becomes, having chosen the incarnational experience of this kind, one does not free oneself arbitrarily from it. One becomes the crab which clears the ocean of matter which flows around the soul of man, talking about the salvaging work of the initiated crab. The crab which clears the ocean of matter, which flows around the soul of man, so that even though one is deeply immersed in matter, one can be fully the the soul deep within matter. Well, where are we? Ah, we seem to be coming to the end here as well, so, well, I'll try to conform properly to the requirements. End of Esoteric Astrology 99, and it is point C, and we are on page something. What page? Page 339, I suppose. And we'll just go on. Page 339, and we have beginning of 99D on page 339.